whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
I have to start with one thing that me being a German, it surprised me a little. Of all places in Germany, why Hanover?
The song has its origins back in the 90s when we had recorded the album that started off as A and then became The Answer when it was re-released. The band had gone home. There was only myself, Steve Mann, and I think that was it in the studio.
Yeah.
And I had this idea. And I said, can I just get this idea down? Oh, and I think Bodo, the drummer, was still there. And he programmed, no, he didn't program a drum. Yeah, he must have programmed a drum track for me to just play along to.
Yeah.
And I recorded this with no idea, just interesting chords, no idea where the melody was going to go back then. And I put this track down, played the guitars, bass. It was five, six minutes long originally. And I kept thinking about it, but never went back to it because I thought it sounded a bit 80s rock, you know. It would have fitted in with all that stuff that was going on with Scorpions and, you know.
Yeah.
And remember, the Scorpions are from Hanover.
Yeah.
We used to hang out with them. And I'm thinking, yeah, Hanover. And then I had this idea for the chorus before I went home, and I laid that down, you know, Destination Hanover, and got all the cities in, you know, Hamburg, Berlin,
Munich.
Stuttgart, you know, Munich. And then I thought, right, Hanover. And I was basically living there. I used to go over there for like a month at a time and spend time in Steve Mann's recording studio, which I ended up buying and bringing back to the UK when he took his business down and everything went onto computer for him. He didn't have the analog stuff, the machines and that.
Yeah.
And so I bought his studio and brought it back to the UK. And we recorded our next album on that equipment here where I live now. That was the album called Sweet Life. So,
all right.
Yeah, so that's how it started. I was living in Hanover. If I was going to, at that time in the mid 90s or early 90s, if I was going to pick a place to live in Germany, it would have been Hanover. It's still a city. It's not that big.
Yeah.
You can walk everywhere. It's got trams. You know, it had water. You know, I really liked the place and where the studio was situated, you were spoiled for choice of places to go and eat, you know, because remember, you have to put something inside, otherwise you die, you know. So it's all that kind of stuff, you know. You have to be comfortable when you're working. You can't just say, oh, that's the right recording studio, and it's in the middle of a fucking desert, you know. That doesn't work for me, or worse still, being on a beach miles from everywhere, you know, and the only thing you've got is coconuts and a bloody beach and a recording studio. That, you know, that means you have to get in the car all the time, you know. So I prefer somewhere where, and if anything goes wrong, you have to fly somebody in, you know. So, you know, it's for me, it's always better to have the guys who can fix things on the plot, you know, which is why today I tend to use Peter Gabriel's studio, which is about half an hour from where I live. We always record the drums there now.
So, okay.
And sometimes we go in there for a few days and do complete tracks, but normally it's we do a lot of work here and then go in and replace the drums or add drums to what we've been working with, and it works fine. You know, it's great.
It's
that's the reason for Hanover.
Sounds good.
why? Where are you?
I'm in Munich.
Oh, Munich.
We are
based. Oh, yes, of course. Yes, Yes, we're coming to Munich. Yeah. We're playing the Circus Krone again, I think.
At the end of
October. So I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I love that gig.
Yeah,
you must have been to the circus to see the circus, haven't you?
Probably 100 times.
Oh, good. Because I think it's still probably the best circus I've ever seen. When you consider where it is in the middle of the city, it's fantastic.
It used to be, before all the venues were created back in the early 70s, it used to be the only venue you could play. So the Beatles played there in 1966.
The Suite played there in the 70s. Yeah. We used to do two shows there.
It's just amazing. But correct me if I'm wrong, you sound pretty busy still when you talk about studio work. But I thought this is going to be it. This is the full circle. That's where it's going to come to a close.
Look, you say these things, and when I talked about this, it was probably a year ago, remember? The album was probably getting close to being finished before Christmas last year.
Yeah.
But everybody talks about timing. And in the meantime, we've put two new tracks on the album, because we wrote and discovered two new songs that were worthy of being, and one of them was Destination Hanover. It's interesting. My issues with my health play a big part. I have said, and I mean this, I do not want to do long tours anymore.
Yeah,
where you leave your house in February and you don't get home until September. I don't want to do this ever again in my life.
Yeah.
And we are not McCartney or Bruce Springsteen, who has a private plane, which after every gig, when he's having his week off between gigs, I can't fly home and be at home and then fly back out to do the next gig. You know, it's important. So when we come to Germany, the most we'll probably do is four shows in a week. And it will be spread out. There'll be two or three in a row with a day off and then one, and then we'll fly home. And then we have a week or 6 days away, and then we'll come back and do some more. The promoter's happy with this. The one place you can't go and do this is places like America and Australia. So yeah. I'm not sure, unless something... But we are going to Australia, and somebody's come out of the woodwork and said that he wants to do a tour, and it's working out brilliantly because a lot of the shows are already sold out. We've got 12 shows in Australia, and I think more than half of them, all the tickets have gone. So somebody knew something, didn't they? You know, because when I was offered the chance to go to Australia, I mean, I love the place, but I'm thinking 12 shows, are you sure? And then he started talking about the venues. And I now understand, when we went there before and we didn't sell out 20 years ago, I'm thinking the reason is we weren't playing the venues that this guy has chosen. You see, if you up your level and you say, we're gonna play the Crown Center, we're going to play that venue, all of a sudden people look at Suite in a slightly different way than from playing a bar alongside a hotel that holds 700 or 800, and now you're playing a venue that holds 1,500 people, 2,000 people. They go, "Oh, Suite are back in town," and well, I think a lot of it is up here. And I am looking forward to it. It's just that we've made sure that there are enough days off between and travel, so that I'm not going to put myself through the ringer, we say in England, where you put the clothes through and you get all the water out of it. You know, I'm not putting myself through that. My wife's coming with me on the first leg, and then I'm on my own for a couple of weeks. But we'll get through it, and then of course we finish the year with six shows in the UK. Which is always, we've been building that up for probably 10 or 12 years now. Every year we've added more, or played slightly bigger venues and things like this. It's all looking good, you know? It's all looking good.
It doesn't look like the end at all.
I can't say that for definite because cancer has a habit of making your words sound stupid. So I don't tend to say, oh, I'm in remission right now. I don't say that. All I say is it's not interfering with me right now.
Yeah.
You know, because it's always there. I'm at a point where I've got nowhere to go. I can't turn back. I'll be very honest. I have not had chemotherapy, yeah. But I have. I'm having the very, very strong hormone therapy right now, and it seems to be working. The only problem is, I don't trust myself driving long distances because I get very, very tired, very fatigued, you know. And you find me if I'm on an aeroplane, even if it's only for an hour, I'll fall asleep, you know. So it's that's the one thing that's got a slight worry about it, that that the fatigue isn't going to get to me. Instead of playing, which we would have done, instead of playing like when we do our own tour, instead of playing for 2 hours, we won't be playing quite as long as that, but we will be including things from the new album.
Yeah.
It depends. We might change it every night, every other night. We might say, well, do that one night and that one night, songs from the album. But I don't think it's right, a band of our stature, to come on stage and play 11 songs from a new album. I don't think that's right.
As long as you play the 11,000 hits afterwards, we're fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, then we'd have to play the 14 hits or something, you know. But it's a fine line. I've got younger guys in my band who say, oh, what about playing that? And I said, which hit would you like to drop? You know, and of course, they have no answer to that. but we have adjusted the set sometimes to suit the environment. We went somewhere where it was so bloody cold. I said, let's not use the acoustic guitar tonight because temperature changes with acoustic guitars are dreadful. Yeah. So we didn't do the song The 16s, which is one of our favorites, but it was the right choice because you don't have that technical problem of picking a guitar up that's out of tune and standing there in front of an audience trying to tune it. You know, it's horses for courses, you know.
Have you ever imagined what it would be like for you to retire, actually, to go past? And then what would you do afterwards? How?
Yeah. Well, I had this conversation with Mickey Box a long, long time ago when we were turning 60, never mind 70. And I said, got any plans to retire? And he laughed and he said, what are we going to do if we retire? What the hell are we going to do? And I said, maybe it'll be forced upon us. He said, well, that would be the way. At least we'd know then, wouldn't we? And we would need good friends to come to us and go, you know, it's about time you stop playing, you know, you can't do it anymore. But I think you're absolutely right. It's a very, very difficult one. We're certainly doing, we're trying to, or it seems that we're doing a bit less that we used to do. Mickey hasn't slowed down with Uriah Heep. They are still as busy as ever. I can't believe it. And I kept saying to him, you're trying to kill yourself? You know, because his health is good, but he's had his problems with his knees and his, you know, things like this. And it's standing around for so long, you know, it gets to you. So, no, I don't see it being... And to answer the other question with the recording, with my health, if I'm still here by this time next year, who knows, there might well be another album. And if this album goes the way I'm starting to think it might go, everybody who's heard it has said to me, it's a great album. Yeah. You know, it's got all the songs, they've got melody. They've even said that they become earworms. Somebody who's a classic rock that I know. And he said, I've had people, because I've been playing it, people walking around singing some of the songs. And I said, well, that's good. And these are critics, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You achieved so much in your whole career. I think there's not a second on this planet ever that there's not a sweet song anywhere on the radio in the whole world. It's just mind-blowing. Is there anything you didn't achieve?
Well, there's probably a few things locked away here that, you know, initially I had ideas above my station where I thought I was going to be the next major record producer in the early 80s and late 70s, early 80s, or that maybe people did realize that my songwriting was better than it probably actually is. I've managed to hit a few things along the way where I've won ASCAP awards in America and been nominated in UK. But the whole business is completely different now. A band like us, I mean, we're not even in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know.
That's right.
So it's difficult. I've now seen people, one of these guys who does, you know, not really a Where Are They Now, but why the hell is this band still not one of the major bands around, you know? And he stands there and talks about all the things that, you know, that have happened, and it's so, no, I have to stop it now and say, no, there's nothing that I regret and there's nothing that I wished I'd done, you know. Even though, look, along the way, I've been offered the chance to go and play with other bands.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to mention them now, but there was one that if I had done it, it would have been the end of Sweet. And I'm not being, you know, opinionated about that. Yeah. It's just that at that time, the band was in, Brian had left, Steve was moving to America, and Mick was losing interest a little bit. And we were a three-piece who were starting to pull at the seams. And if I'd have done what was possible, if I'd have left, then the two of them would have done nothing. They'd have waited, I suppose, until somebody came to them and said, do you want to do something? But I couldn't do it. It's not in my nature to walk away from something that still in my head was not finished, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, look, as far as I could have seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, your last gig is going to be next year somewhere in Austria.
Is it?
That's what it said on the internet.
Oh, really? And you believe the internet, do you?
Not anymore now.
Yes. we do have some plans for next year.
Yeah.
And I know already, I can tell you this, that we are booked to do the Kalf Rock, is it? And we're also booked to do the one in front of the castle and Lovely Days. They're like 2 days back to back. One is in front of a castle and one is in like an environment where there's hills and trees all around. We did it 2 years ago with, once again, with Uriah Heep and Deep Purple. So it's going to be nice to do that again next year. Yeah.
You know, it sounds like there's something in the British music gene, in the gene pool. You know, when you look at Heap and Deep Purple, they won't stop. Yeah, you guys are just not going to stop doing this. Saxon, Biff, you know, everybody's here.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, the weird thing is, I'm hoping the business is starting to realize that there aren't quite enough venues for bands like us to play in the UK.
Yeah.
But there are many venues for us to play in Germany. And Germany was probably, let's be honest here, I think Germany was our biggest territory in the world.
I think so too.
Yeah. So I'm very, very happy that they've stuck with us wherever we've been, wherever we go. The Germans are still with us. So I'm very happy. You know, we're venturing later this month into the old east of places like Chemnitz and things like that. And I'm reading things in the newspaper that I don't like to read about uprisings of right wing and all of that. But I'm hoping that people aren't going to be doing anything at the gigs. I'm pretty sure that the fans will be the fans, you know.
You know, it's not everybody here. I think you have similar problems in the UK, I guess. Oh, maybe not to a certain extent like we do.
We have more bloody problems in the UK. You know, we've got middle class people who want to go gluing themselves to the roads and buildings, and then you've got others wanting to throw orange paint, you know, wherever they can, you know, and that's the stupidity of it. And I actually now I'm starting to agree that anybody who causes problems, you've got to get tough with it. And there's so many people out there saying, oh, you can't jail them. And I said, of course you can. They disrupted a major road around London where I don't know whether anybody actually died, but there were ambulances and all sorts caught up in this major roadblock thing, you know. So it beggars belief that people are allowed to do this. There was one lorry driver, I think, who came out with it. He said, well, if you drive over them, he said, it becomes less bumpy. You know, and now...
We have the same at the airports, so they, you know, they glue themselves on the landways or whatever you have.
We've had that. Yeah, it's, you know, it's nonsense. All it does is it makes front pages for the wrong reason.
Yeah, that's true. It's a bad PR.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir, I gotta ask you one final question.
Okay.
How often have you been addressed because of your hairdo?
Well, I have to say, there were so many people, and there are still people who come on our Facebook and go, oh, isn't it time to drop the wig and just shave your head, Andy? Now,
there you go.
This is not a wig. So of course, I could cut it, but as we get older, sometimes you know, I'm not Harrison Ford. I'm not George Clooney. Sometimes the face, you know, all of a sudden you grow more beautiful as you get older. I'm afraid my hair is a bit of a trademark now.
It is.
And the thing is, when I first got my cancer, one of my friends said to me, I think we should go and shop for hats. You know, for something to put on your head. And then I got it. You know, he thought, well, you've got cancer. You're going to have some treatment. You're going to lose your hair. That was his thoughts behind it.
Yeah.
But I said to him at that point, I said, if I don't lose my hair, I'm not going to cut it. And I didn't lose my hair and I don't cut it. Well, I do. I mean, I sometimes trim the end or when it's growing down here, you know, it has to be cut back there. But, you know. Otherwise, I look like that from the Addams Family, you know, the hairy person. Yeah. When I joined Sweet, first of all, I had the curtains where from there all the way down to there, Ian Gillan was with Deep Purple.
Yeah.
I had what's known as the curtains, you know. And when I joined Sweet, they all had these things called bangs, you know, the across the top of the eyes, with the bouffant. And before the first photo session, Nicky Chinn, who was looking after the band at that time, as well as being one of the songwriters, said, "Get up tomorrow morning and go to Vidal Sassoon in Bond Street in London." And then go on to the photo session. Well, I arrived at the photo session, that very first photo session. I look at myself and I go, my God, that was the person that was under all of that air then, you know. And the rest of the band were actually quite impressed because I looked the best probably on that photo session, you know. Finally, somebody had cut my hair and made some sense of it.
It's just created a legend of its own.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.